all for coming. And let's open with prayer. Father, you are such a good father. Nothing bypasses you. Everything must come into you ordained everything to come to back to you. You made the world and everything in it. You established it on the seas and on the rivers. Everything belongs to you. Whether we believe in you or we don't, we belong to you. And I thank you, for you're such a good Papa. I ask your Holy Spirit to reign in this place. We open up our hearts to you to learn whatever you have for us to hear and learn. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My voice has gone an octave low, but that's all right. Okay, we've been talking about the wilderness or storms or delays or disappointments and all those types of things that come into our lives, our husband being late, that can cause me to stress. However, I just gotta let it go. All right? I should know by now that that's the way it is. It surprises me when he's on time, but he is on time many times. So Lord, just bless Jim wherever he's at. May he get here. He's probably listening. So honey, put the pedal to the metal. Okay, this is just a little quick review. And we're talking about, maybe I have to change it to the other side. There we go. The different ways that we waste our wildernesses or our trials, our tribulations, and our setbacks. First one was, anyone remember? It sounds like a steam engine whining, okay? Sometimes the wilderness brings out the whining in our hearts, and it literally means to a long complaining sound. It is Israel grumbling in the wilderness. Instead of recognizing the signpost that the Savior had delivered, his deliverance and provision for them. Just think if you didn't have to go to the grocery store, but every morning you could go out and get your manna for the day and you didn't have to worry about it. But they got sick of that. So that's part of whining. Psalms 33 says, it's time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all ye redeemed ones. Do it. Praise him with all you have, for praise looks lovely on the lips of God. God's devoted lovers. A second way is, where do you go from whining? To wallow. We wallow, and wallowing, pigs like it, but the Lord doesn't. Wallowing is to immerse oneself in something that is excessive degree. Here we move beyond whining to fixing our patterns of thought and elevate ourselves above the Savior. So we go to our thoughts instead of what he says about us. If we do that, then we're starting to wallow. When we wallow, all we see is and think and talk about is the trial that we're facing, believing we will only have peace when we're on the other side of the storm. But when we're in the storm, he asks us to think on him. Not just then, but everything. But when these situations come, we need to rest in his peace by thinking about, turning our mindset to what he says about us. Romans 12:2 in the Passion says, This will empower you to discern God's will, and you will live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Wow. To think on Him. He thinks, this is just a minor little thing, so we can say to ourselves, Lord, I don't like it. I don't like what I'm going through. I can't see the end of this rainbow, but I know you're going to be with me. I know that if I press into you, that things are going to be good, even in the storm, but also on the end of it, because there's always an ending. One final way is we waste our wilderness, letting ourselves becoming consumed with worry. Jesus urges us not to worry about tomorrow, but simply rest in Him, trusting His sufficiency in the present moment. He is enough, and every moment that will follow. Matthew 6, 25 to 34, I'll just read a little bit. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, drink, and what you're going to wear. Jumping down, he says, now if God so clothes the, it's dry, the grass of the fields, which today is here and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O little ones of faith? Therefore, do not worry what we eat or drink or what we wear, for your Heavenly Father knows what you need above all these things. But this is the key: to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we have a part in this: seeking, asking, knocking, and listening. Part of listening is what He says in our spirit to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always talking. One of the ways is through our actual conscience. If our conscience doesn't line up with the Word, then you probably shouldn't be doing it if you want to reap the good rewards. So conscience is first. Second way is asking and listening. Reading your Word. His Word is always the best way to go. Follow it. But it comes down to us, our decision to follow Him. Right? Give praise and thanksgiving for what God has already given you. Live with a heart of gratitude. Somehow our new computer isn't getting things the way we actually want them. When they print out, Jim printed out this, I'll forget it. Yeah. It's not Jim's fault. It's the computer's fault. So the second way is wonder. Wonder begins in the wilderness. Hey, why is this? Oh, my Lord, help me. Then you have to interpret. Why is this not working? Wonder begins in the wilderness. When we come to the other side of a great cloud of witnesses, we see the wilderness isn't our enemy. It is actually an incubator. It is where our callings are clarified, where our strength is forged, where intimacy with the Father is tested and proven, bearing a weight greater than gold. The wilderness is where we are purified, and it is where we are prepared. It is where the things that do not belong to us no no longer go away and die, and where new anointings and favor is born. Wonder often begins in the wilderness. We all have trials and tribulations, things that come off our path in everyday life. But how does God prepare our hearts that we can deal with those things in a positive, encouraging manner? That is the key. What do? Renew our minds, right? So that means we have to do something. God did it all on the cross for us, but we're part of that process of how we need to renew our minds in Him. What is the antidote to our problems? Seek God's counsel through His Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to help and act on His truths in every situation. John 14:16-33 says, "These things I have given you, spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. Because in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen? Amen, amen, amen. What do I say? Lord, I don't like what I'm going through, but I know that you are there with me. And you have overcome the world, so I can rest in your provision, whatever it is. Even if I don't see it, it could be a delay. Well, he delayed my wish for a husband for a long time. 54 years, I think I got married. But I wasn't ready. So I'm so thankful that the three other people that asked me to marry them, he gave me a word that said, no, not this one. And I'm going, hallelujah. I would have been divorced probably three times. But God had another way. And he had someone that he was preparing for me. Yay, so don't give up. Never give up. Didn't Churchill say that? But never give up, because God, we have to be the right person for whoever he gives us. Because he's not going to give a bunch of stuff in our life to someone that is his son. That's just not fair to them. So we need to take care of ourselves first. Thank you, Lord. Jim, are you ready to go? Isaiah 61:3 says, the counsel those mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. That's all you guys that believe. You that believe in the Lord, that have accepted him in their heart, you are trees of righteousness. You are a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Remember who you are. You are his kids, and he gives us everything we need. Take it away, beloved.
Thank you. So the New Testament had its share of wilderness experiences too. Even Jesus himself was led away. But we know about that part for 40 days. But in Luke 15:16, it says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray in seclusion." So part of our survival when we're going through our dry seasons is to slip away and pray quiet. And in this society, it's getting a lot harder. These little devices of ours, they don't leave us alone. So we have to shut them off and take that time, set that time aside. And that's part of the survival. Now, Betty said this verse already, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Are you lacking in anything? How much time have you spent seeking his face in the matter? Often, I know in my past, I didn't seek his face because I knew what his answer would be. And then I went and made the mess and tried to get God to bless my mess. So that's walking in pride. The three main stumbling blocks are pride, fear, and of course, ignorance. So going back to the wilderness experiences, we need to know God. How do we know God? What am I missing here? Well, what's the one sure thing we have? The scripture, the Bible. We need a quiet time. That means taking it, shutting the phone off, or letting the answering machine take it all. But go in. Sometimes it's hours. I listen to one minister on a regular basis, Dr. Jim Richards. He's been out here. But I like his thing. He goes in until. Now, the only way you can do that is if you have an awesome helpmate who will put up with you spending hours, maybe even days, just going into the room, coming out, eating, saying a few words, and then going back into the room. But we're getting to know the face of God, not just the face of God, the intricate lines in his face. And in Jesus, the marks in his hands, the marks in his feet, the wound in his side, thinking how much it must have hurt him while he's being beaten and while he's on the cross when people are asking Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? Oh, no, no, no. Going as far as cursing. Can you really feel that in your side, the wound that would be? And God doesn't need reminding. We do. I mean, the rainbow after the flood was put in the sky. And yes, scripture says it was to remind God that he not to destroy the earth with water again. But I think it's more for us to realize it's not. I don't think he forgets. The only thing he forgets is our sin. Because it's the cross, that one event that took away all the sin.
And that's where we have to take every thought captive. I'm a sinner. No, you were a sinner, and sometimes you sin. However, that's in the past, and so who are we now? Saints and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
And like saints, we have to be like David. If we sin, we got to be quick. Because we know when we do it. I mean, if my wife and I are having a difference of opinion, and I'm becoming frustrated, and something comes out of my mouth that I know it shouldn't have, well, it's up to me to quickly repent of it and apologize. Because that doesn't give the enemy a chance to come between you. And if we have a difference of opinion of what to do, we just agree in prayer. It's time. We got to have the same mind here. Well, I think it should be done this way. Well, I think it should. Let's keep praying. We'll meet back. And wait for that unity of the Spirit. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit's in me as in her. The same Holy Spirit is in each and every believer. So when I run into a believer who has a difference of opinion, well, we'll test our spiritual maturity and we'll say, brother or sister, can we just pray about this? Because we should be unity. What does the Spirit telling you? And let's just come wait until we get a unity of the Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. Did I use the W word, that four-letter word, wait? Yes, I did. But God Even when he feels far away, he isn't, because he's in us. And even when we think God's quiet, it's no, I haven't tuned in, because it's not something, well, it might be ignorance. I like to think it's ignorance more than pride, but often it could be pride. Now, King James in John 15:26, this is the Holy Spirit. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So whenever I have a question about it, and you hear the silliest questions coming from immature people, or people who've come to church, or ourselves, but it'll be the silliest question where it's so plain to us because we've spent that time. And it's in our advantage to not wait until we're in a mess to get to know God or to seek God's face in this matter, because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. At Mark 13:11, when they take you and turn you over, this is when we see the persecutions, and I'm going to bring that up a little bit now, because in Nigeria, there has been an astronomical number of Christians being killed and churches burned. And we don't even see that in any of the legacy media. Not on CBC, Global, City TV, CTV, none of them. None of them report on it. And yet, they're still getting aid, money, from governments around the world. And if it was any other group, there'd be an uproar. And I mean, we have to understand that even some of the legislation that's been in Canada proposed, it's not fully in yet. And so it's up to us to be on our face to say, Lord, how can we pray this? We know it's not your will. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And Mark 13:13, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And even Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 19, told of tribulation. He was quoting Daniel. And I look at the Psalms, Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. This is from the Amplified. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He makes the thoughts and plans of the people ineffective. And then verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts and plans of his heart through all generations. So we have two opponents and one truth as we seek God, as we seek what his will is. First of all, the counsel of the nations. Why is Christianity such a threat? Because we won't submit. Every apostle that walked with Jesus was faithful to death upon a cross. A lot of the early Christian churches, when given the choice, when they were caught and say, just renounce your God, worship Caesar, he's the God, they wouldn't. And they knew it was speaking death to themselves, but they loved not their life unto the death. It's so, technology is wonderful when it works.
Technology always works, we just have to learn how to use it. That's me included.
How does God keep a person safe? Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my endurance, my command to persevere, I will keep you safe from the hour of trial, that hour which is about to come on the whole inhabited world to test those who live on the earth. And that's why we need this close relationship. That's why we need our quiet times, because we need to hear. Because when the Lord speaks and says, now's the time, go, we go.
Yeah, listening to the Holy Spirit. There was a time when I thought I never heard him. But in actuality, I did hear him. Whether I listen to him sometimes or refuse to. If you're not a believer and you're here this morning, that's the first thing. That's the step we need to take. You know, I accepted the Lord when I was 10. I lived in a Christian home. I mean, I had it good. It was a beautiful family. Did stuff happen? Yeah, of course. However, when I decided, my first time was when I decided to walk out of the covering of my father. My decision, I knew better, blah, 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 blah. That's when things changed. So when the rubber hits the road, we need to make sure that we know. I'm pretty sure everyone here has heard the gospel, but we need to choose this day who we're going to follow. One's going to make our path, one will seem great, that leads to destruction. The other one doesn't seem very good. However, it ends up being the best path ever. And I'm just so grateful how God has brought me through many situations, trials, tribulations, storms, most of them my own fault. You know, things happen, right? Things happen in this world where it's unpredictable. And I have a question for you. For all the times that God has been good to you, I don't know if you keep track of these, but it's important for us to keep track of times when God has been faithful to you. Why? Because when the next storm comes, you can go back and say, well, God, you brought me through this. You brought me through this. It wasn't so bad, but you brought me through this. And I like to call it a memoir of faithfulness. I have so many stories. I need to really write a book. Mostly for myself. But it's in these times that you can, when you're sitting or walking and talking with your family, all of a sudden there's an opportunity where you can bring something that you've been through. Well, this is what I was going through, but God, when I made the decision to seek his face, say, Lord, are you going to help me in this? Yeah. Like I said before, threw up my hands and said, I'm done with men. Done. You're going to have to put him right in front of me. And he did, right here in this church. And I didn't want him. But God had a better plan. But my heart went soft, and I said, Lord, if, change, please change my heart. See, it comes to a submission, a surrender of our will, of what we want. Because he knows the best. He knows the best. Always has, always will. Just face it. Open your heart to him if you haven't. And there's anyone here, the pastor, there's a lot of people in here that will help you in that decision if you need to. One thing I'd like, the last 10 minutes here, do you have anything with it you want to say?
No, you just stole my part here.
Okay.
I had it written down. Part of spending time with God is to take a notepaper or a special book and a pen and write down, and especially when God does something special for you, make it a memory book. Because then when you get in the really dry seasons, You blow the dust off of it, you crack it open, and you start seeing the hand of God reaching out, picking you up, helping you walk through it.
We have about 10, 12 minutes left. So I would like you to get into a small group and try to give everybody a chance to answer the question if they want to. You don't have to. I want you to think about a specific time where you were confronted with a difficult situation and how God turned it for His glory and for your good. All right. Or if you don't get through everybody, small groups is coming up this next week. So that might be a question for an opener. So if you would, please, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, honey, for sticking with me through this. Yeah, I just want to pray before. Lord, thank you again for your faithfulness to each one of your children, that you are faithful to even those that haven't chosen you yet. Yeah, it's hard. It's not an easy road to follow you, but you're going to be with us in each step. It's a very worthwhile road. It's narrow. It's sometimes lonely. But you said you would never leave us or forsake us. And so as we split up here into small groups to just figure out how you have been faithful in a situation in our lives. It could be as simple as somebody just gave me the finger and I was going to explode. But you said love them. Bless them and where they're going so fast. That's a simple thing. But it comes out of a heart of forgiveness and a heart of trusting you. In your name I pray. Amen.
And Lord, I just ask, we have a lot of Joshua and Calebs in here. We've
yes.
been faithful. The wilderness is past and the promised land's coming up.
Yes, Lord.
So there's a whole new. And reason I bring them up, after 40 years, their vim and vigor was as still strong in them.
Yes.
And they're ready to tackle the promised land that you've given them. For each and every one here, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Give a specific time where you were confronted with a difficult situation and how God turned it for His glory and you are good.